What are you telling me?
We're recording now.
Now?
I got 5 minutes of the show.
Five minutes. Which 5 minutes?
I don't know. I noticed it was off, and I'm like, why is it not on? It's blinking.
Oh, my God.
God damn it. What did we talk about before?
Before the word whore call?
Yeah.
Nobody heard me trounce you?
Excuse me? No.
It's not on there.
Oh,
okay, we'll reenact it.
We can't reenact it.
I'll say the same statements.
How do we reenact
it? It's running now. God damn it. I swear to God it was running when we started. I swear to you, the Lord Jesus.
All right, well, let's start over.
When I unplugged the power to it, I probably fucked it up.
Well, let's start over. What's the big deal? We start over.
Start over.
We start over, and we'll start with 2T3. I'm sorry, 2T10, 2:30.
Yeah.
With John and the Word Whore.
Yeah.
And then I'll call in on Skype. How about that?
How are you going to call in on Skype?
I have Skype right here.
Okay, how are you going to call in, though?
I don't know.
That's genius, Scott. I'm glad you thought that through.
The Word Whore, you don't have anything going on tonight, do you?
Not really, no.
Yeah, it's 10:30 in Miami?
It's 10:29.
10:29. How late do you stay up when you're in Miami waiting for this thing to resolve?
3-ish.
There you go. All right, we have plenty of time, John. Let's start it up again.
All right.
Oh, God. How are we going to make that seem?
We're not. We're just going to start
genuine.
Over. We're going to start completely over. If we play Shit or Shinola again, I'm going to have a brand new set of questions.
All right, ready?
I bet you John got so upset he got beat, he just erased everything.
No.
I think so, too.
No.
I'm so suspicious.
So pissed, man. I placed titties in the window in the right spot, and now it's...
Oh, we lost all that, too?
Yeah.
Damn.
Well, I it's a long story.
Yeah. I don't get upset anymore because it happens so frequently.
Shut up!
Okay,
you
but.
Do it! No, it's, it's a long story.
No, it happens to us all the time.
It's a long story.
It happens to you in the buttons?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Do you re-record or you tell them, you know, hey, fuck this. Call me when you get your shit together.
I usually tell him to get his shit together, which is why we record so infrequently.
All right, should we start over, Scott?
Yeah, 2T.
All right, let me shut the mics off. I'm gonna mute you, word whore.
Okay.
Does that hurt your feelings when I say that?
A little. Like that
word whore.
No, I'm going to mute you. Hurt my feelings.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Calling me the word whore doesn't hurt my feelings at all.
All right, hold on.
You're listening to another episode of Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
All right, Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is episode 2T10, Scott.
That's right, John. 2T10, take two.
Take two. You had to say that? Ass.
Yeah, I had to say that because we recorded for an hour. And we got nothing to show for it. That's why we're starting over right now.
That's right. And we're joined by the Word Whore from Air Out My Shorts. Hello, Word Whore.
Hello, John.
Now, the word whore is in Miami. She's from Canada, but she's in Miami, and she's stuck in Miami. We don't have time to go into that.
No, we already covered that in take one.
She fucked up her hand, and now she's there.
It'll be better for my lawsuit that we lost that recording.
Right. There's a lawyer involved.
Yeah.
And she's not leaving till she gets the big payout.
That's right.
That's right.
The big bucks.
Big payback.
We also found out that the Preston Buttons over there does the same thing John does and doesn't record the show. That's why they don't put it out as much as they'd like to. Because the word horse says, hey, get your shit together.
Shut up, Scott, you dickhead. Hi, it's me, Preston Buttons.
Well, not only that, Preston Buttons is very busy directing, writing, and starring in his own movies.
Orders.
Orders. Hey.
His latest feature.
The word whore. Does he have another motion picture he's working on right now?
I would assume so. I hope so.
But he hasn't mentioned it to you? You're not
involved? Did you say picture?
In a voiceover or anything like that?
Not yet. He has not. He's not constantly yet. Asking me for scripts.
What do you mean, asking you for scripts? To read scripts?
No, to write them.
Oh, to write them. I thought he wrote them.
Well.
Who wrote orders? Did you write orders?
I did not write orders.
But you are a writer.
Yes. Yes.
And she's artistic, too.
Oh, that reminds me, John.
She's a painter.
We talked about
she's a painter.
We talked
Scott.
About
I'm
authors.
I'm a painter first.
She's
How did you know that?
She's
John?
A painter.
How did you know that?
I've seen your paintings.
I saw your self-portrait.
You did?
Somebody painted your self-portrait once, Scott.
Hey, last show we talked about authors that are listeners of our show, and we forgot to mention Mark Chiarello, John, who's an author.
Oh yeah,
that's right. And the word whore, who's an author. How about that?
Cred just goes up. It just keeps going up, Scott. Your cred.
And an artist. An artist first, author
yeah.
second.
And she did a really cool kitchen floor, too.
Oh, wow.
I know everything about you.
How do you know this?
Word whore.
You're kind of giving me the creeps right now.
Oh, you got a nice place, man.
Thank you.
All right, so
checked it out.
The word whore. The last time we talked to you, you had just broken up Vince Vaughn and Jennifer Aniston.
Oh Jesus! Right? It was that long ago.
Right?
That was a long time ago, wasn't it?
Apparently, I was quite successful in that mission.
Yes. Now, do you still talk to Vince Vaughn, or
no?
Has that gone south?
It never even went north.
Never even went north. That's too bad because, you know, I can see Preston Buttons getting a Vince Vaughn involved in his movie.
It started down low but never made it up or what? What do you mean?
Yeah, well.
Scott's confused.
If Buttons is counting on me trolling for his Star's First X movies, that's not a gig I'm signing up for.
Ah,
hey, that's the way it happens in Hollywood, isn't it?
Probably.
It's the way it happened for me, John.
What exactly?
Yeah.
When I met Keanu Reeves at 220,
oh.
at
2T2,
two, whatever.
You having a hard time, man?
I'm having a real
Keanu,
hard time.
Keanu, yeah. He was over at your house, your
yeah.
pad, your 2T2, rental.
Yeah. My rental.
Yeah. He was going to jam with us, but he had to go.
He had to go.
He was shooting the movie Chain Reaction.
That's right.
That's right, yeah.
All right, so let's...
Did you shake his hand even? Or
no.
Just, sup, man?
It's just, yeah, sup,
yeah,
sup.
Sup.
Hey, yo, Reeves, yo.
Yeah, you really sucked in the Neuromancer.
I need a computer.
Did you, like, make fun of him and do that?
I need a computer.
What was that movie called? Was that it wasn't Neuromancer. That's the name of the book.
I can't remember. Johnny Mnemonic.
Johnny Mnemonic.
There
that's
you go.
It. You remember that word whore?
I do.
What's so funny?
I don't know. The way you say her name is what? Funny to me.
What? I'm just saying word whore.
Mnemonic starts with a P, right?
Yes. No, you idiot! Pneumatic. That's pneumatic. Pneumonia. Oh, I forgot to clip out Phil from last week.
What do you mean clip him out?
Saying egonomics. Egomonomics.
He didn't say that. Come on.
How many takes have we done now?
How many what?
How many takes are we on now?
This is our second. Take two.
Oh, okay.
Why, why does it feel longer?
Well, my drink is empty, so.
You know, you need to refill it?
Yeah.
We can wait. Go ahead.
Yeah. We'll play some music.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have... No, talk. Talk.
Yeah, hold on. I think I got it here, John. Ready?
Yeah.
Hold on.
Got parents and stuff?
You got parents and stuff?
Yeah. Once. But I haven't seen them in years.
Yeah. Anyways, I don't think about it much, okay?
Well, what do you think about when you're alone?
I think I want to get out of this rat hole. I want to get online. I need a computer. I need a computer. I think I want to get out of this rat hole. I want to get online. I need a computer.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
I didn't know it was spelled computer.
Computer.
A computer.
Yeah. There's a P in computer, John.
Yeah.
If you know that.
Woo! Did you have the video, though?
What do you mean, the video?
Where'd you get the sound bite?
I got it from YouTube.
Did you see the video where he, like, curls up his knuckles?
Oh, yeah,
need
yeah.
A computer.
Keanu Reeves needs a computer. That's the YouTube.
Yeah. What are you doing? What,
I think
what?
She's back. That's not me, man.
Oh, that was my beer opening. Sorry.
What kind of beer are you drinking?
Are you willing to advertise?
Oh, we got another call coming in. Yeah. Should I answer it?
Sure. Yeah, what kind of beer? Tell us.
Heineken.
Heineken. Heineken. You know, I was in, where was I, John? I was in the Netherlands, and I was with Dutch people, and they took me out to a
Go
bar.
And
I said, hey.
You met Dutch people in the Netherlands?
And I said, hey, I would like a Heineken draft. And they said, Heineken? They all laughed at me. Why are you laughing? Well, Heineken means cat piss to the Dutch. Yeah. Like when I was in Ireland, I had Guinness. Well, that was good. But nobody, none of the Dutch drink the Heineken.
I'm not surprised.
Wow.
But I don't think the translation is actually cat piss.
Oh, I think it is. If you weren't drinking beer.
Are we going to put that in shit or shinola?
We could.
I say shit.
If you weren't drinking beer, what would you drink?
Scotch.
What kind of scotch?
John and scotch.
The best I can get. Yes, John and scotch is my favorite.
On the rocks, or you take it straight up? How do you drink it?
Jesus. Straight.
Straight up.
Straight up.
The last scotch you had, what was it?
Macallan 25.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds a
little mushy, man. Yeah. Macallan 25. How about that? What happened to our call, John? You said you were getting another call?
Well, I got to do a conference, and I can't do... I don't know how to work Skype that well.
We've had...
I know, but I had to call the person back on a conference.
Oh, I see. I see.
You follow me?
Did you figure out who was calling, or was it an unknown number?
It was a phone number.
So it was unknown.
Yeah, it was unknown. I'll tell you what it was. It was...
Wait a minute. Hold it. And you can't call the person back because it's a phone number?
Oh, they left a message. The area code's 417? Yeah. What's 417?
No idea.
They haven't called us before. I've never seen that area code. Do you want me to play the... I don't think the word whore could hear it if I played it.
So the word whore, when you're in Miami, where do you stay? You got a place down there?
I have a place here.
Nice.
Is it a condo? Is it a house? What is it?
It's a condo.
Nice. Is it on the ocean there?
Is it a stabbing cabin?
No. It's on the bay.
It's on the bay. That area code, John, is... I can't tell. Oh, it's from Missouri. Southwestern Missouri.
Missouri.
Isn't Britney Spears from Missouri?
Missouri, yeah.
I think she's trying to call us.
She must be.
Must be her. All right, John, moving on.
Whoever it was didn't leave a message. They left a 1 second message.
I saw some movies, John.
Yeah.
Did you see a movie?
Yeah.
What'd you see?
I saw a documentary on Netflix.
Word Whore, do you have the Netflix?
I don't have the Netflix.
Is it something you can get in Canada, the
yeah.
Netflix?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah? But you don't have it?
I don't. I don't have it there. I don't have it here.
It's like Dr. Seuss.
Yeah.
I don't have it anywhere.
I don't have it anywhere.
Green eggs and ham. Sam, I am.
So what was the documentary you saw, John?
Fathead.
Fathead.
That sounds familiar.
Fathead. It's a documentary about... You remember that movie by Morgan Spurlock?
Yeah, the McDonald's one.
Yeah, what the hell was it called?
Supersize It.
Supersize Me. Yeah, that's it. Supersize Me. Well, this guy, I got to get his name because I couldn't remember. Tom Naughton. He's a comedian. He's a computer programmer. He was like, he didn't think the caloric content added up with what Spurlock was saying. That basically he said, I'm going to eat McDonald's every day for 30 days straight and show what it does to my health. And he gained 25 pounds. But he said the rules were he was going to order breakfast, lunch, and dinner and only supersize when they asked him to. And in the movie,
they always asked him to.
No, they only asked him, I guess, 9 times, according to this Naughton guy.
Really?
Yeah, Naughton said, and even if they supersized every time, you can't supersize a breakfast, only a lunch and a dinner. And even if they did, it wouldn't add up to the 5,000 calories that he said he was consuming per day from McDonald's. Because he took the nutritional spreadsheet or whatever that they have, and he added it up. Even threw in a sundae and an apple pie and all this stuff, and it still didn't add up. And so he called Spurlock's people and asked for the food log. Can you give me the food log? You know what? And they gave him the runaround. He said the press tried to get the food log. They wouldn't give the information. So there's no, like, proof that he actually ate based on the rules that he said. So Naughton decided to go to the doctor and, you know, have a health checkup and get his cholesterol checked and all this stuff. And he decided to eat only at McDonald's, Wendy's, Hardee's, all the fast food joints, you know, Taco Bell. And he was going to eat in moderation and not like supersize or anything. He would say no to fries. He wouldn't drink Cokes. He'd drink like Diet Coke or Crystal Light or water or tea. And then the first part is just ripping on Spurlock and then debunking that whole movie.
I think you just like saying Spurlock.
Spurlock. Yes. And then the second part, he debunks the lipid hypothesis. Do you know what that is, Scott?
No.
Or you, the word whore?
Well, I know lipids are fat cells, right?
Yeah. Well, the lipid hypothesis is back from, I don't know what year it was, 18-something or whatever. Some guy came up with it stating that if you eat fatty foods, it's going to increase your cholesterol to the point that it'll clog your arteries. Well, what they found out is that more and more scientists are finding out, and they're still being shut down by this, is that a low-fat diet with carbohydrates and all that is bad for you because your brain is made up of fat. You need saturated
fat.
Right,
it needs fat.
Needs that fat, and it also helps to keep from that LDL cholesterol B, which is the little hard marble-like cholesterol, from clogging behind the arterial wall. And what happens is because you eat so many carbs and stuff and not get enough exercise, your arteries inflame, they get damaged, and then these hard little BB types of LDL cholesterol compact in there, and then they form this plaque. Now, if you eat more, according to these guys, if you eat more fat, it's okay to have high cholesterol. Even if your LDL is up, as long as it's the A type, the fluffy LDL cholesterol, because it doesn't clog, it doesn't bind or anything, it doesn't get sticky. So this, he debunks the whole, he just meets with all these scientists and doctors that talk about being a vegetarian makes your muscles smaller, you lose muscle mass and not so much fat. Carbohydrates, even in like, especially in breads, any grains, people shouldn't be eating grains because they were just invented recently. We've only been eating grains for so many years. You know, the paleo man was eating meat and berries and nuts. So he went around and he's eating like double cheeseburgers and Taco Bell and burritos and stuff. Goes back to the doctor after 30 days and he just walks. He walks like 15 minutes a day. And the doctor came back with his results and he lost weight. His fat content went down. I forget what they call that. Not the BMI, but the other one. Total fat to whatever ratio. That went down. So he was like at 32%, 32.2, which meant he was obese, and it went down to 20-something. His cholesterol went down, and the doctor was just like, I don't believe this. You're telling me you ate nothing? He goes, here's my food log. He kept a food log, and you can download it, of everything that he ate. And then, after that, he went on a strict, like, meat only. He's making eggs and bacon, and he's eating sausages, and he only ate that. And his cholesterol went even lower. And his blood pressure got better, his overall health, his skin. He said he was programming till 2 in the morning without issue. I think he throws.
I'm not sure it's a good message for the public, but I'm anxious to see the documentary.
Yeah, it says, you went on a fast food
diet. You got to keep in mind, it affects different people different ways. So that was my problem with Supersize Me, is it affects the body different ways. Every person is different.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. I mean, they do talk about genetics in this, but the one thing they talked about, which was, you know, a lot of things had to do with exercise. Like, kids aren't walking to school anymore. Their moms are taking them, or they're being bussed. He said he walked to school, walked home for lunch, walked back to school, walked back home, and walked basically 2 miles a day between home and school. And then when he was home, he went out and played, and they ran around outside. They didn't play video games or anything.
And we all did, because it was that era when we could.
And at the same time, we drank whole milk. We didn't drink 2%. And they said with some of the tests that they've done, they're attributing the fact that kids aren't drinking whole milk anymore, so they're not getting enough fat to help their brain. And
so we're raising a whole generation of stupid kids.
Yeah, ADHD they're getting and stuff like that. But he also pointed out there's not a single test out there that proves that a low-fat diet reduces heart attacks. And there's also not enough evidence out there to prove that statins actually reduce cholesterol to the point that it stops heart attacks as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I found it, you know, at first I was like, oh, this is a poorly made, quirky looking thing, and it turned out to be very insightful. I was really impressed. So Fathead, Tom Naughton, Fathead.
You recommend it.
Apparently Scott fell asleep. Oh, there he is.
No, there was a news story 2 weeks ago. Nah, maybe 2 months ago. I have no idea of time. But a guy lost weight just eating Twinkies. I wonder if it was the same type of deal. He wanted to show that, hey, you can eat total shit, but still lose weight if you burn more calories than you consume. And that's really the bottom line.
No, it's not.
Well, it's not the bottom line. No. What bothers me is people never factor in the fact that every fucking body is different. It's genetics. It's everything is different.
They talk about
caloric
intake.
You can't have
one
person do an experiment like that and have it be reliable.
Yeah, look at the word horse. She probably doesn't exercise at all. She smokes. She drinks a lot.
I never exercise.
And she's
I
like
drink
90
like
pounds.
A fish. I chain smoke. I eat whatever the fuck I want.
Yeah, see?
There you have it.
I've weighed the same and worn the same size of clothes since the ninth grade.
Boy, the ninth grade. Ninth grade. I weighed like 120 pounds
in the
ninth
grade.
Yeah,
so did I, man. I was wearing my girlfriend's pants. 28 waist, 26 waist, whatever she was.
I'm just saying it's not reliable.
Damn, and I was cut to shreds.
You have to figure out what works for you.
Right, what works for you. I mean, there's always exceptions to the rule, and you are one of those exceptions. But basically, John, and you said this is wrong. My understanding has always been that if you expend more calories than you eat, you will lose weight. Tell me why that's wrong.
They tell you why it's wrong. Watch the film, and you can argue with them.
You watched it. You disagreed with me. Tell me why that's wrong.
I disagree with you because of what they said in the film, which is basically that the caloric intake, it depends on what it is. So if it's fat-based, what happens is your body has insulin controls fat content. Okay, they've proved finally...
Okay.
That insulin is controlling your fat content. It controls how the fat works. Now, when you're bringing in calories that are carbohydrate based, no matter what, it will store those extra carbohydrates as fat calories. So you will get fatter. So 2,000 calories of carbohydrates can be stored as pure fat, and no matter how much you work to burn that stuff off, it's not gonna all come off. The other idea is that when you eat a lot of fats and proteins, you starve the body of those carbohydrates so that the fat cells start spitting out food to go to your muscles and tissues and all that stuff to be burned up. So that insulin doesn't have to, you know, it doesn't raise your glycemic level, so the insulin has to jump in and start batting those cells around, those carbohydrate cells.
Yeah, I'll have to watch the movie.
I think so.
Yeah.
What?
I have a very good friend who's a huge expert on the whole paleo thing, and it sounds like the guy who did the movie you're talking about, I think, comes from that paleo background. And it's a good premise. I'm just saying it doesn't work for everybody.
Understood. But if
there's no way there's one thing that works for everybody.
What is that?
No, I said there's no way there's one thing that works for everybody. So We're just all too unique.
But if you want to be authentic paleo diet, right? What you would do is you would nibble on fruits and vegetables, and then you would gorge yourself like once every 2 weeks. Right?
Well, that's not really authentic. It's
No, paleo is meat and nuts and berries, basically.
Right, but
pretty much.
But it's based on when we were hunter gatherers, right? So
right.
We didn't kill something every day.
That were available past a certain time is the premise, I believe.
Well, that's...
Anyway,
that's the fruits and nuts, right? But from a protein or a meat a specific diet, hunter-gatherers didn't kill everything, kill things every day.
No.
The right. Kills were few and far between.
You would go without meat for ages.
Yeah, but then they would pound food just because they didn't know when they were going to have their next meal.
Right.
Which they draw a correlation. Some people, like psychiatrists, draw a correlation between that and religion.
Pounding food and religion?
Yeah.
Really?
J. Anderson Thomas and Claire Alcoffer in the book Why We Believe in Gods, Scott.
It's because we chow down?
I'm reading that book right now.
It's because we gorge ourselves?
Yes.
And we thank the Holy Lord that we had food to gorge ourselves on?
No.
No.
It has to do with, not receptors, what do they call them? I have to go to the page now.
In your brain?
Yeah.
Neurons?
No.
Gray matter?
No.
Left hemisphere?
No. Adapters.
Adapters?
Yeah.
Never heard of that.
Adapters. Charles Darwin said, "It is not the strongest of the species that survives, nor the most intelligent. It is the one that is the most adaptable to change." Yeah.
Yeah.
And they make a correlation to the hunter-gatherers and their need and their addiction to food, to the addiction to religion.
Wow.
I don't get that jump.
Hey, man, Penn Jillette recommended this as the number one book to read if you're an atheist.
That's where I get all of my best recommendations.
Wait, where do you get yours from? Preston Buttons?
Oh,
or Polly B?
Hey,
come on.
Penn Jillette recommended this for atheists?
Yes.
For atheists.
For anyone.
For anyone.
That wants to know why we believe in gods. Or like recommend a book, you know, like Richard Dawkins, Christopher Hitchens.
Explain the connection to me again, because I'm not seeing it.
I haven't finished reading it. I just started reading it.
No, but what you just said, why? That's why we believe in God, is because
we chow down and we dig it.
I have to find it.
All right, is this book, do you have it digitally, this book?
Yeah. Yeah, but there's no,
I'm just saying it's
there's no find on this fucking thing.
If I were recommending a book about why people believe in religion, I would recommend Daniel Dennett's book, Breaking the Spell.
Yeah, he mentions him.
Yeah, Breaking the Spell. Religion is a natural phenomenon. Yeah.
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 Natural as in how? What do you mean?
As a natural phenomenon.
Like how?
What do you mean, like how?
How is it? What do you mean, natural? Nature? Yeah. Mother Nature?
Like, is it nature?
He's saying, be more specific.
Be more specific, Scott. Dick.
All right, moving on. I saw a movie,
yes.
John.
Yeah, moving. Now we're moving on.
The Word Whore. Did you see any movies?
I've seen many movies.
Within the last week?
Maybe.
What'd you see?
Shit. Can't think of anything specific.
Well, I'll tell you what I saw. And I saw this on DVD. And it was shit. This movie is shit. Unknown. With Liam Neeson. It's a complete waste of time.
Him.
Hey, I like Liam Neeson too. But this movie was shit. I don't recommend
this. He does a lot of shit. He needs a better agent.
Ah, Taken was good.
Liam,
I like
Neeson
Taken.
With an M? Is that what you...
Yeah, Neeson.
Neeson with an N.
That's what I said, Neeson.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, so I do not recommend Unknown. And the thing that really aggravated me, this is the worst movie ever. You know, we talked about this all the time, John.
These
fighting scenes.
Yeah.
Where you can't tell what the fuck is going on. This
the
is the worst
crap.
One ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. They get two guys fighting.
Close cameras.
They do it all blurry and bejiggity.
Well, it wasn't blurry, but the cuts were so quick. I couldn't tell who was who. And they dress them the same. They got the same, like, at least with Lethal Weapon that started this bullshit.
Right.
With Gary Busey and Mel Gibson.
You could at least tell what was...
You could tell the big tall guy who was blonde and the short guy with the mullet. You could at least tell that. But here, you can't tell who the fuck's beating on who.
It makes me kind of seasick.
I just get aggravated. So there's like, there's a lot of scenes where there's fight scenes. It's like, what? I can't even tell what the fuck's going on. I might as well turn away. And then figure out what at the outcome. All right, so Liam Neeson kicked that guy's ass.
Are you sure you're not turning away because you're scared?
I'm not turning away because I'm scared. So I do not recommend Unknown. I would recommend, if you haven't seen Taken, go get Taken if you want to see Liam Neeson in action.
I found it!
I was surprised to learn how old Liam Neeson is.
I like him very much. I think he takes a lot of shit.
That's what I said, Liam Neeson.
You're saying it with an M, like in monkey.
Like in mnemonic.
Pneumonic. Pneumonic.
He seems like a sweet man.
Born in 1952. He lost his wife to a freak accident.
In Canada.
Yeah, in Canada, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, that's what, you know... She
it
ended
wasn't
up going
very
to the,
long ago. It was
the
just
hospital,
a couple of years ago.
Right? And they let her go.
Mm-hmm.
That's
I
what
found
you get.
It. I found it in this book.
Okay.
The part
John
about the food.
John is going to find it. He's going to explain to us why our addiction to food is the same as some people's addiction to religion.
Well, this whole chapter, he's talking about the Homo sapiens and the Homo erectus and all that. And he says, the crucible of small, tightly knit bands of kin sculpted us into the people we are today. This is not ancient history. As recently as 500 years ago, two-thirds of the world's population still lived in small hunter-gatherer tribes and blah, blah, blah. So you ask, what does it have to do with religion? Everything. Religion utilizes and piggybacks onto everyday social thought processes, adaptive psychological mechanisms that evolve to help us negotiate our relationships with other people, to detect agency and intent, and to generate a sense of safety. And then it continues on, while not an adaptation in its own right, religious belief is a byproduct of those psychological mechanisms that allow us to imagine other people and social worlds, abilities crucial to human survival, because religion is only slightly alters those adaptations, it can be equally powerful. Let's look at the workings of adaptive byproducts another way. Do you like fast food? Say a big juicy burger with cheese?
Yes.
A large side of crisp, salty fries?
I like three-layer fries.
And an icy cola or shake?
Yeah.
Okay.
Most people like some kind of fast food at times, even crave it. If fast food doesn't tempt you, maybe you are occasionally crave a succulent prime rib or ice cream. You may avoid them for dietary or health reasons, but odds are that you are at least occasionally break down and buy such meals even against your better judgment.
But what are you saying, that we crave God?
Why does it
what
matter?
What craving does he feel?
Why does it matter? If you understand the psychology, I'm going to tell you if you shut up.
That's why she's the word whore. She can't stop saying words.
Listen.
Look.
If you understand the psychology of craving fast food, a savory slice of prime rib, or a decadent chocolate sundae, you can fully comprehend the psychology of religion. We evolved in harsh, dangerous environments. We evolved cravings for foods that were rare and crucial to our physical well-being. Nobody craves Brussels sprouts, certain types of greens, and tubers were an available source of food in the ancient world, but we all crave fat. And we all crave sweets. The original fat was game meat, an invaluable source of concentrated protein and calories. The original sweets were ripe fruit, important sources of calories, nutrients, vitamin C. Plentiful food was non-existent. Starvation was always right around the corner. Craving is an adaptation. It solves the problem of securing crucial but rare life-sustaining foods. It goes on, and he compares it to... You know, they would hunt down, they would grab a tackle of something, and eat it until they were super full.
But what does that have to do with religion?
Yeah, I still don't get that. I don't get the leap to...
Are you saying God is fat and sugar?
Yes. Yes.
Well, that's why just I'm like not a child, interested.
Just like a child holds his hands up to have somebody pick him up, as the preacher does in a sermon, he holds his hands up to the Lord. Please pick me up and hold me in your
so
grace.
God is
what does that have to do with
sugar?
A cheeseburger?
The problem is we need fat. We probably even need a certain amount of sugar.
Once they found those foods, whenever they could, our ancestors ate more than they needed at that moment. In the world in which we evolved, they couldn't expect to find that food again tomorrow. That eat more than you need appetite and adaptation help solve the problem of unpredictable food availability. But today, in most areas of the developed world, food is plentiful and the human culture has created new ways of responding to these cravings. Now we have fast food, blah, 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 blah. Where does he finally conclude this?
We're waiting. Because we're not getting it. Where's the leap?
Is the answer to God?
Our illogical craving for these new cultural creations arises from adaptations that helped ensure survival. The cravings that caused our ancestors to seek out fats or sweets, which helped them survive. But these modern foods, packed with more fat and sugar than anything our ancestors ever found or killed, satisfy the cravings with far more intense emotional reward and consequent stimuli than the original game meat or ripe fruit ever provided. This is why it is not a joke to say that if you understand the psychology of fast food, you understand the psychology of religion. With the design of fast food, we have unconsciously hijacked ancient adaptations to crave and subsequently secure the essential fats and sweets that keep our ancestors alive and fit to reproduce. We didn't evolve to crave fast food, but our brains still accept it as adaptive. These fast food cravings are a byproduct, and now they become dangerous because uncontrolled, they can lead to health problems our ancestors likely never faced. Which brings us to religion, or more specifically, the adaptations from which belief stems. Is what we crave always good for us? So you got to read the next chapter, Our Daily Bread. And I'm not there yet.
Oh, right. My God.
So when you get to the next chapter,
yeah,
you will be able to provide us,
yes,
with the link.
Why don't you read the book? It's only like 100 pages.
From a cheeseburger to the Lord.
I think they're one and the same, except I like one a whole lot better.
Yeah, because one you could stick in your mouth.
Yes.
You could stick the Lord in your mouth.
Well, I could, but I might be arrested.
Just visit your local Catholic priest. Yeah, shut up, Mr. Agernangamernigix.
Hey, that was Phil, man.
Yeah.
Phil. Don't mix me up with Phil.
It's always Phil.
All right, moving on. I saw another movie, John.
Great.
Cedar Rapids. I can't recommend this movie either. But I watched the entire movie. And I did not know that Anne Heche was one of the stars of this movie.
Oh, God. Do you like her?
No.
I liked her in this movie.
She makes me crazy.
Why did she make you crazy?
I don't know. I can't wrap my head around her.
I think you would like this movie, The Word Whore.
You
Cedar
think?
Rapids. Yes. About an insurance salesman.
What makes you think I would like this movie?
Well, John C. Reilly's in it, for one thing. I mean, he's always good. He plays Dean Ziegler. The Zieg.
Okay, but you just said you don't recommend this movie.
I don't recommend it to our general audience, but I think you would like it.
Why would I like it?
You would like it because it's got Anne Heche, who's a enigma to you.
Oh, I see.
A wick-a-mick-a-hole. Oh, Sigourney Weaver's in it, too.
Oh, see? I'm not sure how I feel about her either.
What? What are you saying?
The Macratics?
You didn't like her in Ghostbusters?
the Metcur addicts?
Who couldn't like her in Ghostbusters?
Yeah.
What about aliens?
Get away from her, you bitch!
15 months ago, John, Americans were worried about the prospect of failure in Iraq.
What about that?
Told a small White House group Thursday attempting
to... I'm hearing your voice three times.
Yeah, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
What?
I know what I'm going to do.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to get another drink. And then...
Last week just said that some of the officer corps have been creating problems and even violating the security of military operations. Al-Maliki said that some of the officer corps have been... Oh, I read that already.
I'm really fucked up, man.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid, but I have to watch the Army because those still loyal to the previous regime may start planning coups.
Coups,
you cocksucker. It's not coops.
Coops.
It's coos.
Oh,
anus. Get anus.
I thought you were saying coos like it was. Right.
That's what I was saying.
Anus. Get anus.
Not coops.
Coos.
I'm like, shut up. It's coops.
Whatever, dingy. Dingy room.
Dingy. You want to hear Dingy?
Fuck you.
Fought off her father for a frantic 15 minutes. She ran from room to room in her family home on Saturday afternoon until he cornered her in a dingy bathroom, held her over the tub.
Did you say dingy bathroom?
I did say dingy. Hey, come on. This is serious. Okay. So we've both... screwed up, you know. We talk a lot on this podcast, and when you talk a lot, you're gonna make mistakes.
Dingy bathroom.
Man,
it's the best. Oh, nice. I can't wait because this next chapter starts out with we must, however, acknowledge, as it seems to me, that man with all his noble qualities still bears in his bodily frame the indelible stamp of his lowly origin. Charles Darwin.
Wow. And what is this book now?
It's called Why We Believe in Gods.
Gods.
Yeah, the parentheses around the S. The foreword is by Sir Richard Dawkins.
Sir Richard.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
but he's just quoting Darwin a lot.
Who's the author?
It's J. Anderson Thompson and Claire Aukoffer.
And this was recommended to you on PenPoint?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So the book you have digitally, how did you get it? Did you...
downloaded it from iTunes.
And you have like an... You have an iPad,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Nice. I got to get one of those.
I love it, man. It's so easy. You carry 10 books around and you can... I just finished this, the other one, the Psychopath Test.
Oh, I wanted to get that one.
By John Ronson.
Did you download that digitally?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, I want to get that.
He's the guy that wrote The Men Who Stare at Goats. That's pretty good, man. I recommend. That's a good read. It's fun. It's fast. It's it jumps around a lot.
Which one? The Men Who Stare at Goats or the Psychopath Test?
The Psychopath Test.
Yeah, he was on The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe. They interviewed him, and it was a really interesting interview, and I wanted to get the book after I heard that episode of the SGU.
Nice.
That's right, John.
Have you read any books, word whore?
I read a lot of books, John. Whore.
What's the last book you've read?
Last book I read was called The Tiny Wife by Andrew Kaufman.
Is that a novel?
It is. Well, it's like a mini, mini, mini novel. It's teeny tiny.
So do you find yourself reading more fiction or nonfiction?
I like historical fiction.
Historical fiction.
You know, I don't like fiction. I can't get into it. Unless it's a comic book, I got to have my art along with my fiction.
Really?
I read Dune. I read
The Hobbit.
No, I didn't read The Hobbit.
Why not? Everybody reads
Never
The Hobbit.
Never in your whole life?
Probably like the abridged version for kids. I think I read.
It was actually for kids. So
well, it's. I don't know what you're saying. It's yeah, but there's like a real thin one that you could
Cole's
buy
notes
through
Hobbit.
Through how old are you? Word whore. How old are you?
Are you allowed to ask me?
Well, I mean, I'm 47. I don't know if you grew up at the same time I did. Maybe you're younger.
I roughly grew up at the same time you did.
Well, they used to have these books when I was a kid. I don't know if they were Time Life or what, but they were like King Arthur and The Hobbit. But they were like these summarized versions with pictures.
Like the Cole's Notes version.
Yes.
That's what
Cliff
we
Notes.
Used to call it.
Yeah, exactly. So I had those, but I didn't read the full on. I don't know. There are a couple of books I read that were fiction, you know, scary books.
Like what?
Stephen King. I don't know. Whatever my wife's got. She's got a ton of Stephen King's. But he goes on and on describing a fucking room for like a whole chapter.
Yeah, see, that drives me mad. Ah!
There was a wooden chair. It was dusty. Smelled a little musty in the room. There was some light coming through the window. And that goes on for about four pages.
Mm-hmm.
I can't take it.
Or like Atlas Shrugged, where a guy gives a monologue.
90 minutes.
For 90 pages, a monologue.
Oh, you're talking to an Ayn Rand lover right here.
Beautiful.
Who, you?
Not me, her. The word whore likes.
You like Ayn Rand?
I'm a big fan.
Huge fan. In the literature or the philosophy or both?
Both.
Both. Objectivism.
She's a fucking nut job.
Did you see the movie they made?
Hey!
Did
you
see the movie they made?
Well, maybe, but.
I have not seen the movie, no.
You haven't?
What? What kind of a fan are you?
Yeah, come on. John Galt, who?
I don't. I'm not ready for someone else's interpretation.
Very good. I like to hear that. I like that, yeah.
I like to make up my own mind.
Very good.
Well, John, I'm more of a nonfiction reader. My wife is more of a fiction reader. So I asked her. I said, hey, let's start a book club. You recommend some American classics to me. And
what, are you going to start in your own bathroom or something?
Yeah, we'll just start in the bathroom.
You recommend to me, I recommend to you, and that's it.
That's
just the
cute.
Two of you.
No, shit.
It's a couple's book club.
Did you say that's cute?
And we're going to get our daughter involved as well.
It's freaking cute.
But so far, she hasn't been able to recommend anything. Like, we were out for lunch, and I said, okay, so you got any recommendations? Well, no, I haven't thought about it. So I'm like, well, what about Mark Twain? Oh, I hate Mark Twain. Oh.
I also hate Mark Twain.
See, there you go. What about everything I mentioned? She was like, no. What? No.
For me, recommending fiction to a nonfiction lover.
Yes.
I would always start with historical fiction.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, what would your recommendation
be?
It's a good bridge. It's a really good bridge, and it gives you that, like, it's grounded in reality, and the fiction part is just filling in the daily life of someone who actually really existed. And there's not a lot of crazy leaps and bounds and crazy made up shit and fantasy crap that you can't deal with.
Yeah, but for example, the only fiction that I really enjoyed is the Sherlock Holmes, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, because there's logic and reason, the whole deal.
Right.
So I enjoyed that type of thing.
No, and that's why I think you would love historical fiction.
Yeah, but I can make leaps and bounds. Come on.
Oh, I'm not saying you can. I'm just saying it's a good segue before you read fiction.
All right, give me some historical fiction recommendations, but they have to be classics. Classics.
Okay. My all-time favorite?
Yes.
Colleen McCullough did a series called The Masters of Rome. It's entirely historical fiction. You will love every second of it. I swear. I've read them 3 times.
Very good.
There are 7 or 8 books.
All right, now when you think about American classics from fiction, what are your top 5? Can you come up with a top 5?
Oh, boy. That's hard.
You don't like Twain? I asked my wife about Hemingway. Yeah, I hate Hemingway. Forget Hemingway.
I'd have to stick with like Arthur C. Clarke and Isaac Asimov, for example. Those were the ones that I read early on, like Nemesis and Foundation. Shit like that.
I think I read Foundation.
Rendezvous with Rama.
Mm.
That's a good one. Rama's cool. I like Rama is about a cylindrical world. Scott, how about that?
Cylindrical.
That is cylindrical. What about like To Kill a Mockingbird? That's an American classic, right?
And it's lovely.
Read it, though.
Yeah, I saw the movie, too. Come on, you didn't. Just give me one American classic fiction recommendation.
I'm embarrassed to even suggest it because it's going to like put me in the chick category mindset.
But it's not. Shopaholic, is that it?
From,
it's not.
From a literary perspective, I would go with Wuthering Heights.
Wuthering Heights. Who wrote
Wuthering.
That? What did I say?
That's gay.
I know. That's what I knew the response would be. That's why I didn't want to
Who
say.
Who wrote that?
Some broad.
Oh, fuck off. Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious.
You're
dealing with fiction noobs here.
I can't even fucking address that.
Come on, really? You can't even give me information?
No, I refuse.
Everybody knows it was Emily. Come on.
Emily?
Yeah.
Emily who? What are you looking it up online? You
no, I knew it was Emily.
Totally
no.
Everybody knows it was Emily.
Everybody knows. I think that's a theme song, right? For the book.
Yeah.
Everybody knows it was Emily.
Don't you read C. Arthur or Arthur C. Clarke? Sir Arthur C. Clarke?
Who, Scott or me?
Either.
Give me a title.
Well, 2001, A Space Odyssey.
I saw the movie.
The Sands of Mars.
I didn't see that one.
The Rama stuff is the only thing I've read from him, which is cool. No Isaac, Foundation, any of the Robot Chronicle stuff.
Oh, I know a book that Scott would like.
Yes.
It's called The Imperfectionists.
The Imperfectionists. I'm writing this down. The...
No, Google it. Because I can't remember the author's name. I think you'd really enjoy it. It's right up your alley.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, I would have... For me, it would be, I guess, classic science fiction.
I love sci-fi, but for me, it's in that's more of a watch than a read. I love reading it. Actually, that's not true. I love reading fantasy. I prefer to watch sci-fi. And well, I get upset when people don't understand the difference.
Of watching it versus reading it?
No, of fantasy versus science fiction.
Oh.
The last fiction I read was High Fidelity.
Mm. Which was also a movie, correct?
That is correct, with Jack Black.
Do you only read movies?
It was a novel. They hadn't made it into a movie yet. I picked it up at the airport on a plane trip.
Nice.
I think you should read The Imperfectionists.
Okay. I'm writing
and
it
then
down.
The entire Masters of Rome series by Colleen McCullough.
Yes, Masters of Rome. My wife likes historical fiction too.
She'll die for it. It's so good.
The stuff
that's so good.
Like the England, royalty in England, that kind of stuff. We also enjoy I Claudius, PBS I Claudius.
Oh, okay. Then I have another whole series to recommend to her.
Are you smoking up?
Of course I'm smoking. I'm the word whore, for God's sake.
And that would be what? Masters of Rome and what else?
Oh, what was the other one?
I don't know. You tell me. Masters of Rome. And then what's the other historical fiction?
I recommend William Gibson's Neuromancer.
Neuromancer.
The fuck is that?
That's the movie that Johnny Mnemonic was made from.
Oh, Christ. I can't imagine that's a good read.
It's a very, very popular book among the cyberpunk genre.
Well, apparently I'm not in the cyberpunk.
Obviously, genre. When you're reading books like by Emily, what's the book's name? Old Ladies in Lace or something?
He forced
Withering
me to pick
Heights.
Something classic.
Withering Tights or whatever. What is it?
He forced me to pick something classic. I was grasping
Withering Bustier.
It's the only one I didn't hate.
So you hate American literature in general?
Scott, can I recommend another one?
I wouldn't say that. I was an English lit major, so...
I'd like to recommend Little Women.
I read too many books way too fast, and none of them resonated.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, is there a podcast that are book review podcasts, like book club podcasts?
Air out my shorts.
Other than
no,
that
No, yours
one.
Is like the Penthouse Forum.
I'm talking about where they go away, they read a book, and they come back, and they just discuss the book for the podcast.
Yeah, air out my shorts.
No, you guys aren't that. You get submissions from listeners, and you read that. I'm talking about reading a book like a book club.
Yeah, but we're encouraging writing, not just reading. We're encouraging writing. Isn't
all right,
that beautiful?
Let me get back to my question. Is there a podcast that's like a book club? If not, we should start one. The John Scott Word Whore Book Club.
Given the fact that we've just determined we have completely and entirely different tastes in
right
books.
And that's why it would be so intriguing, right?
Okay.
You would say, hey, I love Wuthering Heights, and John would be like, Wuthering Heights, fuck this.
Yeah, I'm, yeah. I wouldn't be like it. I am like it.
Just the book selection,
I'm not that
process
cultured,
would be entertaining. All right, moving on.
Spit it out!
I think moving on is my happiest phrase of this whole fucking exchange.
Thank you.
All right, John, celebrity
word
news.
Word whore.
Celebrity news, John. Celebrity.
Celebrity?
That's right.
All right, that's right. Hold on. I got to find the music.
Is the top story the word whore fell down and hurt herself?
That's lost somewhere in...
I know.
All right. Let's see. I can't find my...
Celebrity news, John. I'm going to give you the top 10 most obvious celebrity stoners. Right? But before I do, I'll have you and Word Whore tell me who you think the any of the top 10... Give me a couple celebrity names you think are stoners.
Oh, easy.
Go ahead, Word Whore. What do you got?
Jack Black.
Jack Black, yeah.
Seth Rogen.
Seth Rogen.
Jay.
Jay?
Yeah, whatever. I don't know his last name. Are they Bob Smith? And JJ.
Silent Bob and
Jay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's his name? Muse.
Jason Muse.
Did you say celebrities?
Celebrity, yeah.
Bill Maher.
Oh, good one. Very good one.
Anything else?
There's somebody we don't suspect.
Who's the black guy?
Excuse?
Eddie Murphy?
No.
Holy.
Michael Jordan. Those are the two black guys I know.
Who's the black guy?
Montel Williams.
Montel.
No.
Montel. Well, he does because of health reasons, right?
That's right.
Oh, my pen is running out. Not able to take notes.
Stoners. Let's see. I want to say James Franco.
Yeah, I hear that.
I kind of feel that, too.
Hey, man. Did you like Pineapple Express? Did you see that word whore?
I actually really enjoyed it.
I thought it was great. Scott didn't like it.
I laughed my ass off.
I did, too.
Then I recommended it to somebody else and made the mistake of watching it with them and realized it was only funny the first time.
Oh, I've seen it like 4 times. It still kills me.
That's kind of like Toxic Avenger. It's only funny the first time.
No, it's not. It's not even remotely close.
It has so much to do with mood, right? So you see something, and if you're in the right mood for it to appeal to you,
yeah,
it's funny as shit. I'm always embarrassed when I recommend something that isn't funny in certain moods.
All right, I'm having a production emergency here.
What?
My laptop battery is saying, hey, you need to plug in, but I'm already plugged in.
Okay, so unplug and plug back in.
I'm plugged into this Belkin.
Yeah, but you got to turn the Belkin thing on.
Where's the power switch?
It's on the end of it.
There it is.
Idiot.
Very good.
There you go. Turn the power strip on. There's no lights or anything.
How can I tell?
The lights!
How can I tell it's on or not? I can't.
When your computer says the battery's low.
Right. That's when I say, what the hell's going on?
I'm so technically inept. Look at me.
Hey, I'm a software guy, all right? I'm not about hardware.
I don't know why the battery is dying.
I don't even know.
You should see him with jumper cables. I'm sorry.
You're a software guy. You're not about hardware.
All right, moving on. So, I think
the word whore made it funny.
I think that the list that you guys put together is better than the list that whoever HailMaryJane.com put together.
What do you got?
Their 10 most obvious stoners are, in order, Christine Stewart.
Who the hell's that?
No, Kristen Stewart.
I'm sorry. Kristen Stewart.
Well, you know what? She looks stoned most of the time, but I don't think she is. I think she's just stupid.
Oh, Juliette Lewis. I forgot her.
No, they have pictures of her with like a bong, token a bong on a front porch.
Okay, fair enough.
Bong! Bong!
Drew Barrymore.
No.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She had an amazing acting career and is now trying her hand at directing with the move Whip It. She was caught sharing a joint with Cameron Diaz, who follows on the list. Cameron Diaz.
Wow.
Then they have a picture of Cameron Diaz toking a joint.
A picture.
Yeah. Number 4, Jack Black. I think, John, you mentioned Jack Black.
No, that was the word whore.
Word whore mentioned Jack Black. Number 5, Jeff Bridges.
Oh, he's on my list as well. I was just about to say he just doesn't do it at work.
The dude.
Number 5. I'm sorry. Number 6. John, a black guy. I thought you were going to say Dave Chappelle. That's their token black guy. And when I say token, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Token
good black one. Guy. Yeah. Good one.
Number 7, Bill Murray. Yeah.
Oh, I totally see that.
Did you know that he was arrested in 1970 for possessing 9 pounds of marijuana? And he was
it's
expelled
gonna be
from
one
college.
Big joint.
Was it in his sock?
Number 8, Tommy Chong. Tommy Chong.
Oh, that's reaching.
Yeah, that's
like who
that
didn't
doesn't
know
work
that?
Well, it's obvious, right?
Yeah.
Number 9, Matthew McConaughey. And number 10, Mary Louise Parker.
Oh, give me a break. That's just a promo for the show.
Yeah, who even knows who that is? I don't even know who that is.
It's the star of Weeds. It's just a promo for the show.
Oh, see.
Bullshit.
So I say
bullshit.
Bill Maher,
it's
whoever
bullshit.
Said that, and Jason Mewes, he should be on the list. And how could they neglect Seth
and
Rogen?
And Kevin Smith.
How could, well, I could see how they neglect him, but how do you neglect a Seth Rogen on your top 10 list?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
That's what I'm saying. All right, John, moving on to science news.
Remember when
science?
We used to smoke weed, Scott?
No. What?
No.
Isn't weed science?
Well, that was celebrity in science.
I used to love the weed, man.
What do you mean used to?
Yeah, used to.
Used to?
I can't get. Where am I going to buy weed from?
Because Rick doesn't
kids?
Come over anymore.
No. Rick used to grow it.
Yeah. Science story, John. This weekend, big event in science. This weekend.
Yeah.
Out in the universe, John. In the universe. I'm going to turn it over to this guy to explain it because he'll do a much better job than I will. But he's going to talk about a supernova, John. A supernova. Are you ready for this?
Super.
And we could see it from our
but
own
why
backyard.
Why don't you just explain what you got from it, Scott?
Staff scientist at Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory.
Yeah, it's Peter Nugent.
Last week, the collaboration I'm involved
in. You turn it up a little bit, asshole.
Discovered
I don't think that was necessary. That I had homonym attack.
Supernova exploded in the Andromeda galaxy, which is only 21 million light years away.
Hold on,
I can't hear a word. Start this over.
He's kind of a mumble mouth, isn't he?
I'm a senior staff scientist at Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory, and last week, the collaboration I'm involved with, the Palomar Transient Factory, discovered the closest Type 1A supernova in the last 25 years. Supernova exploded in the Pinwheel Galaxy, which is only 21 million light years away in our backyard. A Type 1A supernova is the cataclysmic destruction of a carbon-oxygen white dwarf, which is a star only about 1.4 times the mass of our sun. Most of the supernova that we find at the Palomar telescope, the 48-inch telescope down in, outside of San Diego, are about 1 billion light years away and way too faint for any amateur or general observer to see. This supernova, though, is brightening, and by this weekend, you will be able to
this
see
weekend,
it
John.
In a decent-sized.
He's going to tell us where we need to look.
20x80s or 25x100s.
Listen up
into the sky.
Listen up.
Greater than 3 inches.
Ooh,
you should be
inches.
Able to see this supernova in the Pinwheel Galaxy
way
as
up.
It reaches peak brightness by September 9th. The supernova is located in the constellation Ursa Major, better known as the Big Dipper. And the easiest way to find it is to take the last two stars in the handle of the Big Dipper, form an equilateral triangle heading north, and bang, you'll find the Pinwheel Galaxy.
Bang.
Bang.
Right there. You got that? So, the supernova.
So, get your Hubble telescope out of your shed.
You don't need a Hubble.
And look at the supernova.
You don't need a Hubble. 21 million years ago, the star exploded. We're just seeing it this weekend.
Please say it like...
is that fucking awesome or what?
How many long ago?
21 million...
21 million.
Years ago.
Years ago.
And it just got here now. The funny thing about it is, this happened before God created the universe, John, which I can't figure out. Because
yeah.
The universe is 6,000 years old.
Before
this happened 21 million. Yeah.
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 It's out of sight.
That is out of sight.
How did that happen?
It's remarkable.
Millions and millions of years ago.
No, it's billions.
Billions. And billions and billions.
Billions. Billions. Billions
and billions,
John.
Billions and billions of years ago.
All right.
I'm Carl Sagan. Is that it?
Hold on. I think I have one more. I think I have one more.
One more science news?
Science story. Hold on. No, I do not.
Oh.
All right, John.
Oh, but we like the theme song.
Moving on. Did we get some voicemail? Voicemail?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
We did. I don't think the word whore can hear it, though.
She's not going to be able to hear
no.
the voicemail.
That's no, because okay. it's on her line. And it's about a minute and 57 long. It's Spectacle Zach.
That should be enough time for me to pee.
There you
really?
Go.
Oh, all right.
Take a nice break.
All right. Here it is.
John Scott, what's up? It's a Skeptical Zach. I just heard you guys' conversation with TP, and he works in retail, and he was talking about his company's policy. I'm guessing that it's his company's policy when it comes to like shoplifters. And I wanted to give you my experience with this. I've been working in retail for 6 years now, and I work at the Costco. Anyway, and our LP guys, as we call them, loss prevention, are some real cowboys, man. I mean, they are like the guys in high school that were like the jock bullies, and now their job has become to be like total cocksucking dickhead. I mean, dude, I've seen these guys like send people to jail for like eating cookies, and they manhandle people, dude. Like, as far as not being able to go up and talk to them, that is, I mean, these guys, I've seen these guys chase down like 13-year-old kids like a mile down the road and catch them and then bring them back and interrogate them and like make them cry and give up all their friends and go to their friend's house and arrest the friends with the police's help. Like, it, I don't know, maybe it's because I'm in a different state than California. I don't know, but my experience with retail loss prevention, as we call it, is way different. I actually think these guys are total assholes, and they way overstep the bounds of anything that's decent with some of these people. And, you know, I guess the other ones deserve to get caught, but I don't know. It's a completely different experience for me, so I wanted to add my 2 cents. Have a good one, guys.
So Skeptical Zach weighs in on the TP's, his take on loss prevention at where he works, which is they can't do anything because you got these shines that come in and they steal everything.
Well, they can't do anything because, well, they can tell their manager.
Yeah.
That's all they can do.
That's it. They'll get sued or something. And Skeptical Zach says in one of the most liberal states on the planet that they chase people down and tackle them and bring them back
and make them cry.
Make them cry.
Well, it sounds like Costco has their own loss prevention team where it doesn't sound like Home Depot has that. They have no personnel specifically for this type of thing. But also, you got to remember, Costco, at least here anyway, I don't know what they do in California, but here when you walk out of the store, you have to show somebody a receipt.
Yeah.
And they look at your cart and I can't imagine that they scan the receipt and they, you know, like the Terminator.
Yeah, but they're not like really, they're like 80-year-old people, so you can shove them and then run.
Right.
And break their hip and get away pretty quickly.
But if you're going to shoplift, do you go to Costco? I mean, is that a good place to go?
I don't know. If you need some tires,
it's big. Yeah.
Maybe you go there for your tires. I don't know.
It's a big place.
You steal a watch or something.
All right, John, let me get the door.
Are you going to get
the word whore come back yet?
I'm here.
She's here. Hold on. I got to run and get the door for Phil.
So we didn't do shit or shinola.
Scott, did you hear that?
Oh, I'm at the door. Come on in, man.
All right, I'm back. Whew. What didn't I hear? Because I ran to get the door.
Word whore?
Oh, I was just upset that we didn't do Shit or Shinola.
Oh, we can do Shit or Shinola. We got time for that, right, John?
Okay, Phil, but if wait. Phil's here, we can't just keep him waiting.
No, he's fine. He's still getting his cans on. We keep Phil waiting all the time.
Yeah.
He's lucky to be in the house and waiting. Usually we keep him outside waiting.
We don't charge him.
It'd be nice if he just wore pants.
Yeah. Instead of that fur coat and nothing but black socks.
Right.
All right. Are we ready for Shit or Shinola?
Yeah.
Phil, you can't play.
Round seven.
The seventh time against John and the word whore.
I'm going to ask Phil to keep score for me.
Oh, that'd
so I can
good.
Just concentrate on emceeing.
I think he's a bit more objective.
Didn't he get, like, a boner last week, or was it the week before? Was that last week?
I don't know what you're referring to, John. I didn't get a boner. It's something that Amber claimed. I would say it's an unfounded claim that I had a boner. I really don't know what she was referring to.
Really? I think you had a good old...
Who is this on the phone, by the way? I'm Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Phil.
It's the word whore.
Oh, the word whore. I'm familiar with you. You're from that awesome podcast, Air Out My Shorts, with Preston Buttons.
Yes, Phil.
Well, it's good to speak with you.
The word whore. I like that, Phil. That's good. I was just saying word whore.
All right, let me carry on with the game. Phil, you're going to keep score, right?
That's right.
Scott, I'll keep score. I'll keep the tally of the game, Shit or Shinola. And for those of you who are new to the Total Talk nonsense, may I say the rules? Scott?
Spit it out. Spit it out.
No, I'm going to say the rules, all right? So if you're new to Total Talk nonsense, Shit or Shinola, I am going to make a statement to John and the word whore. Have to tell me if it's shit or Shinola. Shit being total shit, Shinola being true.
Yeah. I think, Scott, you're going to have to come up with a board game for the at-home players.
Yes, I believe that. Yes.
I'm having deja vu.
Yeah.
All right, first statement, shit or Shinola. Phil, are you ready? Of course, Scott, I'm always ready. Two nibbles. Two nibbles.
Who's reading this, Phil? Are you?
Quiet down, Phil. Two nibbles make a bite in computer jargon. Two nibbles make a bite in computer jargon.
That's shit.
Shit or Shinola?
Shinola.
The word whore goes up one to nothing.
I thought two bits make a... Oh, two nibbles.
Who said techie geeks had no sense of humor? A nibble is defined as four bits. A bite measures
eight.
At eight. Ergo, a nibble is half a bite.
That's so dumb.
Sorry, John. I know it's dumb, but it's true.
The word whore is up one to nothing.
Shut up, Phil.
All right, next statement. Shit or Shinola. The heartbeat rate of a cat... is twice that of humans.
Shinola.
A cat's heartbeat is twice that of humans.
Shinola.
John
of course.
Shinola?
I'm in Shinola land also.
Shinola. It's 2-1. That's right. The kitty has 5 more spine vertebrae than her owner, too. Interestingly, domestic cats are the only ones that can hold their tails vertically as they walk. You'll never see that among tigers or any other wild
cats. Wait, what does it have to do with heartbeats?
Horizontal or
dummy.
Between their legs. It's a fact.
John.
How many times do you want me to cover that it's twice the heartbeat of a human? I'm giving you some additional facts.
Hey, John, how many...
Man.
How many hippopotamuses does it make to make a rush?
A rush? You mean a
rhinos.
Thrush?
Rhinos.
Hippopotamus.
Rhinos.
Hippopotami.
Yep.
It's rhinoceroses.
The score is the word whore 2, John 1. Thanks, Phil.
Whore.
Third statement.
The word whore.
Shit or Shinola. Trench coats. Trench coats were used quite literally in the trenches.
Why is that funny?
Trench coats were used quite
There's
literally.
Funny about the trenches.
In the trenches. Shit or shinola?
Shit.
Shit.
That is total shinola. The jacket, which went on to reach peaks of fashion success, was first worn by British soldiers during World War I. The design kept the soldiers warm and dry in the dark trenches throughout northern France and Belgium. The score remains the same. The word who or two, John won. Thanks, Phil. We're on to question, I'm sorry, statement number four. The word Arkansas means sturdy boat. The word Arkansas means sturdy boat. Shit or shinola.
In what language? I need a clarification.
In the Sioux language.
Aha!
The Sioux language.
Well, since Kansas means boat, I'm going to say shinola.
John says shinola.
It's got to be shinola, but I don't like it.
You don't like it, but it's got to be shinola. What is your final answer, Word Whore?
Shinola.
Shinola. It's still 2-1. That is absolute shit. The 25th state in the Union was named after a Sioux word, Okanasa, meaning downstream place or south wind. South wind.
Like Scott's ass.
South wind. Its state flower is the apple blossom.
John, you blew a south wind at me and you fucked me up.
No, that was Scott. If you'd have heard earlier, I thought of somebody was playing a trombone.
Oh, you know what? I can't ask my pioneer question.
Oh, but we had so much fun with it.
About Uranus.
Uranus.
Because I wanted to talk about Uranus.
As usual.
No, I can't.
If you were a woman, I'd be all over that ass.
I am still waiting for the pioneers to tackle John's Uranus.
All right.
Your best friend, Scott, right?
That's right. And if you were a woman, I'd be all over that ass.
What? That's right.
All right. The word whore. 2-1. Going into the final statement of Shit or Shinola.
The word whore.
Thanks, Phil. Final statement. Shit or shinola. The fifth final statement. That's right.
Word whore's got to answer first, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Bye.
Because you're up.
Chirophobia. Chirophobia is a fear of hands.
With a C-H?
C-H. Chirophobia is a fear of hands. Shit or shinola.
Fear of hands or a fear of pants?
A fear of hands with an H. Hands. Shit or shinola?
Shinola.
Word whore says shinola.
Shit.
John says shit. The word whore wins this round of Shit or Shinola 3-1. That is total shinola. This fear can often become a very debilitating disorder.
Debilitating.
Causing cold sweats, quickened heartbeat, and other generalized panic attack symptoms.
I've been beaten by the word whore
twice.
Twice. Except it was only recorded once.
That's just because I let a girl do it. Sizzle, losing by.
You let a girl do it.
Let a girl win.
Oh, let a girl win.
Yeah.
Hey, somebody
told me the other day, I'm like. Well, that was a very rousing game of Shit or Shinola. I'm ready for the news, whatever you are, Jeff.
Yeah. All right.
And congratulations to the word whore.
Now,
for winning.
Your award winning TTN News. Phil
Shit or Shinola is the name of the.
First for 38. A 16-year-old boy died after masturbating 42 times without stopping.
What?
That's right, John. This is out of Brazil. His mother told a local newspaper that she already knew about her son's addiction and that she planned to see the doctor.
Wow.
But the decision came too late. The young man began to masturbate at midnight and spent the whole night to compulsively touch himself. I think I brought in some audio. The young man began, at school, his classmates commented on the boy's problem, and some said he asked them to connect to the webcam for being observed. They further said...
Is she breathing into the mic?
That his attraction to women was extreme. He was attracted to all kinds of women, regardless of texture, physics, color, or age. In his room, a great amount of pornography was found, including photographs and videos of nude women that were saved on his PC. Next story, John. Women hockey players in Burnaby, John, set the Guinness World Record for longest hockey game, 10 days long. In related news, that's a lot of periods. Next story, John.
That's so Canadian friendly.
Well, thank you. A man appeared in a court in South Africa on Tuesday for allegedly raping his goat. That's right, Zachary Tavane, 41, remained in custody until his next appearance on October 21st. Tavane was arrested on Sunday morning and charged with bestiality. His 48-year-old wife and teenage son heard the goat screaming at their home in Madidid Village near Clippen and went to investigate. They allegedly saw Tavane raping the goat. The woman called the police. Next story, John. This next story is about a repeat offender, John, of inflatable items. That's right. A man accused of having sex with a pool raft had also violated inflatable pumpkins. A Hamilton man has been arrested after accused of engaging in sexual contact with a pink blow-up swimming pool raft. Edwin Charles Tobatra, 32, is charged with one count of public indecency. Tobatra was arrested at his home early Sunday morning. According to the arrest report, he stole a raft and was observed by a neighbor engaging in sexual conduct. When the neighbor yelled, he stopped, pulled up his pants, and threw the raft over the fence. According to court records, he was four other public indecency charges. In one public indecency case in 2002, he was caught having sex with an inflatable pumpkin that was part of a Halloween display. Tobragata told police he was having sex with the raft because he has a problem and needs help. He asked officers not to send him to prison, but he was taken to the Butler County Jail. Next story, John.
Word whore. Are you still there?
I'm here.
Chunks. Chunks of meat and potatoes.
I'm having Seth Rogen with a inner tube.
What? If I can carry on. Chunks of meat and potatoes. This is out of Louisville, Kentucky.
Chunks of meat and potatoes.
A man was hospitalized after being seriously injured in a potato gun explosion. Police said they received a report of a shooting. And they found 53-year-old John Bartholomew II lying in the street. Bartholomew suffered injuries to his right arm and leg when his homemade potato gun exploded. The victim's brother, Tony, said it appeared that his brother put too much black powder into the device.
Black powder? Oh, my God.
I guess it stressed the metal out too much and it blew up, he said. Martha Dodd said the explosion sent shrapnel into her home across the street. I looked out the door and saw him sitting on the ground, and I said, "You just shot a hole in my house," Dodd said. Bartholomew was taken to the University of Louisville Hospital in non-life-threatening injuries. He's got a chunk of his arm torn up, his butt cheek, his thigh, and lower calf on his right side, Bartholomew's brother said. A chunk of meat was hanging off his arm. You could see to the bone. Next story, John.
But he blew himself up real good.
Three Iranian men executed for something that couldn't possibly happen in Iran. That's right. They were executed by hanging for the crime of having gay sex early Sunday morning. The three men were officially executed for forbidden acts against religion, as Iran does not acknowledge the existence of homosexuality, officially a crime. Next story, John.
Shitty, suck.
A sword-wielding, a sword-wielding man was arrested on the interstate. I'm Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. That's right, John. Authorities in Northwest Indiana on Sunday safely dismissed a samurai sword-wielding man after they found him walking along Interstate 65 near Maryville. The still unidentified man was discovered wandering along south.
Wandering along?
He was wandering
along. At 2:30 p.m., marching like a drum major while holding the 35-inch sword.
Sounds like you said wandering a log.
Shirtless man, who appeared to be in his mid to late 40s, moved the sword rhythmically like a baton. Until Master Trooper Rick Hudson approached.
The man
swung defensively at Hudson but dropped the sword when Hudson ordered him to. A passing car, a 2010 Chevrolet SUV, swerved off the road into the shoulder near their area to avoid the police car and stopped at the scene. And the suspect then tried to get into the vehicle before being ordered to the ground at gunpoint. Maryville police then took him into custody. Once in custody, the man gave authorities a different name and address, but told Lake County Jail officers that he was Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Though his identity hadn't been verified, authorities charged the man with attempting carjacking, resisting law enforcement, and possession of Mary Jane. Next story, John. A man has been arrested in a public library.
That's hilarious.
That's right. Philip Broughton, 50, indecently assaulted a woman in the parenting section of the public library. Broughton, who has a long history of indecent behavior and drunk driving, had denied the incident happened and claimed that he had been in the library looking for books of scientific interest, but was found guilty of indecent assault. Judge Stephen Erber, who described the incident as disgusting, bizarre, and humiliating for the victims, said she was looking for a book in the parenting section when she felt something pressing on her bottom. She found Broughton on his knees with his face pressed into her ass. He made no attempt to move or apologize, and nothing was said. Next and last story, John.
He didn't say he was sorry?
Shut up! That story again.
I'm sorry! Okay, asshole! I'm sorry!
There has to be more to that story.
In our last story tonight, Jessica Simpson is considering breast reduction surgery. Before her wedding.
What?
The singer and actress who engaged to NFL player Eric Johnson is reportedly unhappy with her large boobs and believes downsizing her assets before tying the knot will help her look better in her wedding dress. A source told In Touch Weekly magazine, she thinks if she downsizes her breasts, she will look smaller. She's never loved having a huge chest. And that's the news.
Titties in the window.
Phil McCracken with Coach. With total thought nonsense.
All right. See you later.
I'm on air. I'll say bye to the word.
That's it. He's just in and out. He seems upset.
I don't know why. Why would he be upset?
He's always upset.
He did. He was stumbling quite a bit tonight.
Spit it out!
I think he was, he may have been a little anxious.
Yeah.
You know, we had the word whore.
Yeah.
Who's a celebrity.
Yes.
On the Skype line.
On the interwebs.
Yeah. On the interwebs.
Yeah.
He didn't know how to deal with that.
The word whore. The word whore. All right, Scott, that's all the time we have for this week.
I'd
like
yes.
to thank our special guest, the word whore.
Thank you, the word whore, for joining us. How long are you going to be in Miami? For another, 3 months?
She is so drunk. Listen to her.
Hey, where'd you get that idea?
Either that or you got a window open. What's all that wind blowing across your mic? Hello?
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 Are you liquored up?
Oh, I'm getting there.
So you're going to be in Miami for another 3 months?
I have no idea.
It could be next week. You could be going home.
Could be
if this
any
thing
minute?
Gets settled.
Yes.
Well, we'll call you next week then.
Yeah.
Well, what difference does it make whether I'm here or there?
I don't know.
I guess it doesn't.
The time difference?
There's no time difference.
Are you up by Mrs. Sausage?
I used to be.
Come on, let's start our book club. Give us a short story to read.
I'm not bored with the book club. I like the book club idea.
They want me to go to Mrs. Sausage.
I thought you had to go to Mrs. Sausage before.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't even be calling it Mrs. Sausage if you hadn't heard that from me. That's mine.
I heard it from you, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Your head office is in Mrs. Sausage.
No, it's not. My boss is, and now he wants me to fix some stuff.
You're the fixer.
I'm the fixer. Yep.
Are you the wolf?
I actually have a teleconference with Mrs. Sausage on Thursday.
That's hot.
Yeah. Totally.
It's not at all. That's why it's funny.
But I stay at a nice hotel. It's called...
There's no such thing as a nice
there
hotel
is one.
Mrs. It's Sausage.
The Water's Edge, I think it's called.
Oh, Christ. That's not a nice hotel.
What's wrong with that one? It's pretty cool.
No, I should put you up somewhere nicer.
Well, it's like right down the street. And then I hang out at the Harp, the local pub.
Seriously? Yeah. The Harp?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
You hang out there?
Well, you have to tell me when you're there, because I'm going to send people to go and meet you. And
Send your people?
I'll send my people.
You're not going to come? You're going to send people?
Well, I won't be there in person.
Well, it's going to be a while. It might be closer to winter. But they, the Harp has a really kick-ass Monday night open mic night. They have a kick-ass bar band, yeah.
And you would do quite well there.
I've been there. I didn't play, though. No. Hung out with my boss and another guy. Actually, Pete, the guy that got fired.
Aww.
He bought a lot of Guinness, though, that night. Woof. Woof. All right, well, we got to go. We're gonna say goodbye.
Agreed.
Like to thank the Word Whore for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
Yes.
Thank you, kind sirs.
All right, I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
Say goodnight, Scott.
Goodnight, Scott.
Listening to John and Scott on Total Talk Nonsense.